from the cosmic legends of the universe, Dave Damaschek. The mission: to fight injustice, to right that which is wrong, and to serve all mankind.
Football fans, your old pal Dave. Dave Damaschek here. Welcome to episode number 10 of the Dave Damaschek football program. We made it to double digits. I can't believe it. I'm over the moon about it. What I'm not over the moon about is this story that is in the Men's Journal this week, written by Paul Solotaroff about James Harrison. It has a chance of actually, I don't want to get into hyperbole, but it really might further disrupt the already fragile state of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I'm looking forward to this. Necktie Milner has booked us, Paul Solotaroff. We're going to catch up with him, the man who wrote the article, in just a moment here. But first, we're back from a summertime vacation. And let me say hello to, as you can plainly see, well, not you, the listener, but the man sitting next to me can plainly see, I am bronzy. The Bronze Age has dawned. Look how glorious I look. A man who spent his 4th of July holiday competing and coming in second place, I believe, in the hot dog eating contest with 57 and a half. Is that what you did there? Adam Rank from NFL.com. What's the poop, fella?
Hey, Dave. Thank you for having me.
Sure,
it was 54 and a half.
Good for you.
A little indigestion, but I was drunk at the time. So if I would have, you know, if I would have played it straight, I think I could have done better.
Perfect, perfect. And but you enjoyed it overall?
Oh, it was a lovely holiday.
It's a sluggish.
Because you know why? Because I spent it in America.
Unlike that's a pot shot right out of the gate at producer Necktie Milner. Milner, you were abroad. You were continental necktie, wearing a beret and smoking cigarettes in France on the celebration of our nation's birthday.
Well, thank you for that lovely welcome, Dave. But no, I was in London over 4th of July.
Even better.
Maybe I was.
You know,
how do you know
I wasn't taunting them? It's fine. You're like, hey, look at us.
Yeah.
We're free.
How do you know I wasn't waving the American flag?
Because I know
faces.
You. I know you. Are you American?
I am.
I thought you were. You're not. You weren't born in Canada?
No.
Oh.
Necktie.
Yes. That was weird, but yeah.
Yes. Necktie says he has a big announcement he'd like to make.
I don't have a big announcement.
Okay.
Go ahead, make your announcement. We got Solotaroff. Many things to talk about. It's a dreary time for sports, a sluggish time for sports.
I thought guest was the big announcement.
It is, but we have baseball. You know, outside of the completely meaningless Major League Baseball All-Star Game.
Well, the Angels are going to be on the road for the World Series.
Settle down, Mr. Halo. But let me say this to you. Mm-hmm. People always are trying to figure out, why isn't the All-Star Game relevant anymore? Isn't it pretty obvious? First of all, interleague play has negated the excitement of seeing your guys go up against guys you never see. It's also part of the charm of the World Series that has disappeared because of interleague play. But really, isn't it more important? Isn't the thing that really is lost is, or the charm of it that has been lost, is that ESPN and cable and satellite, we've seen all these teams. It was really cool in 1980 to say, wow, look at that. There's a Seattle Mariner. That's what their uniform looks like in person. I'm watching it out on the field, running next to a Minnesota Twin and so on. If you're in a National League city and that's the only exposure you get are the teams rolling through town. No, we know what every team looks like. There's no excitement.
No, you know, we know what the Red Sox look like. We know what the Yankees look like. We know what TBS runs the Phillies all the time. We know what those teams look like. I got a tweet from our friend Dan.
I know,
Thunder.
But we've seen everybody. We've seen all the teams now. But like I say, 20 or 30 years ago, you really didn't. You never saw an American League team. You saw black and white images in the newspaper of them, pretty much, or baseball cards. That was about it.
I got you, yeah. Because it was weird to see, like, the Reds. Like, I would never see the Reds or any of those other, like, or the Pirates until later in the 70s. But, yeah, you would never see the National League teams.
I like your apathetic sort of confirmation of what I'm saying. I don't need your affirmation, especially when it's
No, but I think even now, though, because I got a tweet. Somebody didn't know that Howie Kendrick looked like 50 Cent. You know, people don't know. They don't. There's a lot of.
Let me tell you this, though. I've said it before. I'm saying it again now. Yes, the Major League All-Star Game is lame, but at least it's better than the pro football, the Pro Bowl every year. I know that Necktie likes to use it as a chance to go out to Hawaii every year as a holiday. But
well, because he doesn't think it's America.
Yeah, he's not clear on that. That's why he likes
it. It's not?
Yeah. Well, that trips out for a necktie now.
But I did do a pick six this week trying to spice up the Hall of Fame week, because say what you will about the home run hitting contest, I still think that's a good event. I watched it for 3 hours on Monday night. Ugh. But the NFL, no, I know there were some that we could have, you know, some ways we could spice up.
We'll talk about that in a minute. But like I say, we've got the Men's Journal writer Paul Solitaroff coming up in just a second here. James Harrison, unless you've been under a rock, you know his comments from earlier in the week, or at least that ran in this article. He used the F word, you know, a slur, the homophobic slur that it seems like. You really have to be loco. You think in the 21st century, all you hear about is these guys are media savvy. They know what's going on. They know that their words are going to go out anywhere. How is it that in the last 3 months from Kobe Bryant, who else used the same slur?
DeSean Jackson?
DeSean Jackson, right. And now James Harrison, really.
Yeah.
Don't these people have handlers to tell them? Mind your P's and Q's. But, you know, obviously attacking the man who is essentially your employer in Roger Goodell, saying that you wouldn't urinate on him if he were on fire. That seems ill-advised. That seems like cutting your nose to spite your face. Fine to complain about the fines and you've been targeted. This seems to go too far. And then within his own locker room now, I don't care how many guys agree with him, and I am certain from talking to a couple other players on the Steelers, they do resent Ben Roethlisberger. They don't like the Brett Favre. I hate the term gunslinger, but they don't like that he sometimes puts them in bad situations and then gets all the credit because he does make hay in the final 2 minutes of the first and second half. But all these things seem self-defeating ultimately, right?
Mm-hmm.
It seems like things aren't going to wind up.
It just does, yeah. But is it personal, too, with Ben Roethlisberger? I know you're talking about, like, some of the game situations, but he's not a terrible quarterback. I mean,
it's his wedding weekend, after all. Now he has to deal with this on the weekend of his nuptials. I feel bad for him. And, by the way, I really have to take – I'm not going to turn my back on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Obviously, I make no secret of the fact that that's my team. That's what we do. If you're a new listener to the podcast, we like to wear it on our sleeve, what teams we root for. And I'm a Steeler fan, but really, after the last couple of years, I have to evaluate whether or not this is a team I can stand by. Hines Ward, with his trouble, he gets a DUI now, and the shady eight. I mean, that's not
his fault.
Is that worse
than dancing with the Stars?
What is it?
Do you feel like a Bengals fan?
I mean, it's almost as bad. It's like 62% as bad as the Dancing with the Stars business. No, but the agent, it's not his responsibility what the agent says. But why would the agent even bother to say, I'm confident that when the facts come out that it will prove that
Was he in the
cops just come out with detail after detail that just debunked that. That is crazy. Obviously, Roethlisberger himself with his issues. Rashard Mendenhall with his tweets earlier in the year. Questioning whether or not 9/11 happen.
But if the Steelers go to the Super Bowl this year, you will be there with a terrible towel, right?
Yeah.
As long as they win.
And Santonio gets kicked.
But the one guy
who has to be outraged is Santonio Holmes, because with Roethlisberger, Ward, James Harrison, Santonio gets kicked to the curb for burning tree. You know, and you know, now he's with the Jets or wherever he'll wind up in 2011.
Like, but probably the least offensive thing you could
why
do.
Why am I out? No, those guys get to stay. He's the guy who's got to be really.
He's not hurting anybody. He's not doing anything. He's just enjoying something that may be illegal.
And that's the next question. Do I need to find a new team? Let's talk about that rank. But first, he's on the line necktie.
We got him.
What?
We got him.
I thought it was a joke.
Necktie.
No, I got him.
Necktie scored a guest for us, a topical guest, hottest issue going in the NFL right now.
He just didn't walk down the hall and grab somebody like before?
Hey, that's two.
All right, let's get
it on. He's on the line.
Let's get to him.
All right, here he is, everybody. The man who may ultimately be blamed for taking down the Pittsburgh Steelers organization or further tarnishing their already sullied reputation over the last couple of years. From Men's Journal, the man who wrote the article that's getting all the attention, Paul Solitaroff. How are you, man?
I'm good, and thank you for catching on that this was, in fact, a plot on my part. as a long-suffering and self-hating New York Giants fan, this was a really twisty way to get the Steelers to finally cut bait on James Harrison and deal him to my New York Giants, who barely managed to sack a bag of groceries last year.
You're a genius, Paul. Well done.
Well, that was, you know, I'll tell you, that is something that we like to talk about here on this show is what your football allegiance is. We believe that journalism, you know, when it comes to talking about football, you should wear it on your sleeve. You shouldn't have to hide what team you root for. So, all right, I didn't know if we might hear Ravens or Bengals or Browns. I wouldn't be surprised on the banks of the Three Rivers if people are accusing you of something like that. But you're in the other conference entirely. So, all right, so you're off the hook in that regard. But talk to us about James Harrison, your first impressions going in. Did you anticipate a guy with obviously he's proven to be a bit of a loose cannon over the last couple of years. Did you anticipate that you might be walking into a gold mine like you have, it seems?
No, I didn't. Here's what I thought I was going to do. I thought I was going to write a piece basically subtitled The Case for James Henry Harrison Against the NFL, because I was furious at the way Goodell did him last year. I thought it was absolute horse, you know what. To change the rules of the game in mid-course, to ask a guy who's been trained and applauded for playing like a runaway locomotive all his life to suddenly comport himself like Thomas the Tank. I thought that was garbage. I thought that, furthermore, Goodell making him the billboard villain for above-the-neck violence in the NFL was prejudicial, say the least, and maybe just kind of sort of outright racist.
Well, I assume, based on what you just said, do you assume then that Harrison has every right to say those things? Obviously, not from a U.S. constitutional standpoint, but as the employee of an employee of Commissioner Goodell, do you think if you were Commissioner Goodell, would you be suspending James Harrison for comments like this?
I think I'd be very careful if I'm Roger Goodell right now. James is speaking for thousands when he issues those remarks. But say a couple of things. First of all, I got to James in May of this year. So let's count backwards. He'd had about 8 months to seethe and stew about having been made the poster boy of the NFL concussion syndrome. And by the way, you're talking the guy who broke the NFL concussion pandemic 5-6 years ago in a very long story arraigning the NFL called Casualties of the NFL, in which I talked to dozens of guys in their 40s, 50s, and 60s who couldn't remember why they'd walked into a room, who couldn't remember how to change the oil in the car on their car, something they'd been doing for 35 years. You know, James Harrison didn't invent helmet-on-helmet hits. He didn't perfect them. He's about 50 years behind the curve there. You know, I don't know if you're old enough to remember the hit that Chuck Bednarik laid on Frank Gifford in the 1960 championship game. But, you know, if we're really going to start talking seriously about, you know, damage incurred from the brutal way in which the sport is played, then we're going to kind of have to dig up, you know, guys like Jack Tatum and fine them. We're going to have to go after, you know, the Bednariks, the Nitschkes, and so on, because those guys earned their place in the Hall of Fame by hitting through and knocking guys out. So, again, James Harrison didn't perfect, didn't invent. He just, you know, happened to have two crushing hits on a day that, you know, writers around the country call Black and Blue Sunday last October, when 11 guys were knocked out cold on the same day. James didn't do himself any favors after the game when he stood at his locker saying, "I like to hurt my opponents."
Well, Paul, isn't that part of the point? First of all, Concrete Charlie will tell you that was a clean hit. He wasn't celebrating when he was standing over Frank Gifford there. But that's you bring up an interesting point, is that Harrison feels that he's being singled out, but isn't he singling himself out with all of his comments, with all of his outlandish comments? Couldn't he better served to just be quiet about it?
I don't think so, because being quiet didn't get him anywhere. it didn't get him a rebate on the money deducted from his checks. It didn't repair his image in the NFL. You know, the damage was done. And James, who had never been called a dirty player in his life until the end of October, early November of last season, had every right, I think, to be exercised about the light in which he'd been cast. Now, everyone says, well, you know, James has a right to be angry, but he had no right to use this language. Well, you're probably right, to the extent that, you know, nobody walks away clean after using the F word, especially describing the most powerful man in sports. But my guess is that at some level, James knew that if he didn't use this kind of language, we wouldn't be talking about this today. You know, James is a smart cookie. One of the things the piece reports is that he is very quietly building a massive real estate empire in Western Virginia. In West Virginia, he's got plans in, you know, in other states. This is a guy who has spent his football money very smartly and not extravagantly. So, you know, let's be clear that we're not talking about a street thug. James is raised by two very strict, loving parents, 14 kids in his family. Every one of them finished high school, went on to college and or a stable profession. So
Paul, let me ask you real quick. Are you saying that this is calculated? Is James Harrison, is he acting like a, let's say, a professional wrestling heel? Is he doing, does he not believe this? Does he really not feel this way about Commissioner Goodell? And is this just an act?
Oh, I think he feels this way intensely. You know, James didn't call Goodell a crook once. He didn't call him a crook twice. I hate to echo LeBron here. He's, you know, 5, 6, 7, you know. But there is a showman in James. You know, there's two things going on here. James is nursing a long and complicated grudge in life about being taken lightly, about being overlooked. I mean, can you imagine before all of this last fall, there being a less bannered, a less marketed defensive player of the year than James Harrison? I mean, half the people who like him don't know he won the defensive player of the year in 08. So I think there's that. I think the fact that this dude didn't get drafted out of college, got cut 4 times before he finally stuck with the Steelers, was signed for a whopping $4,000 as a street free agent. You know, I think it takes a toll. And, you know, has James been complicit in some of this? Did James come to camp in 2002 and steadfastly refuse to read the playbook? Yeah. Did James tell his position coaches exactly what he thought of them? To the extent that James Farrier said to me, we thought this dude was straight crazy when he came to camp. We thought he had serious emotional issues. This, by the way, is his best friend talking.
Do you suppose then, I mean, Harrison's already said, you know, that Roethlisberger at least has reported that Harrison sort of backed off of it and said my words were twisted. Do you think that Harrison regrets it on some level right now? And what about his comments that he said that you've already twisted his words?
Well, James and I have talked several times. In fact, we talked about an hour ago. Everything's cool between us. So I have told James that whatever he needs to do to get right with Ben is good by me. And, you know, James has 3 years left on that very lucrative deal. I think he fully intends to see it out. I'm not sure he intends to play another minute after those 3 years are up. But 3 years, he's got to share a sideline in a locker room with Big Ben. That said, I can say with some authority that there isn't a guy in that defense that's got a poster of Ben Roethlisberger on his bedroom wall.
Well, you know, I absolutely believe that Harrison speaks for at least a number of guys on that Steelers defense. They feel that same way, that Roethlisberger is prone to putting them in a tough spot. But do you anticipate then I say, do you think the commissioner might suspend him with this? Do you think the Steelers might consider parting ways
with him?
Seriously,
it's a fascinating legal question. James is not an employee of the National Football League at the moment. He's not an employee of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, you know, to the extent that you can be locked out and fined or disciplined, I think there's some lawyers would be very interested in looking at that carefully. So I don't know what Goodell has. And, again, Goodell beat him over the head last fall with these fines. So James went after him, really? Obviously the F word was really unfortunate. And had he not said it on tape, I would have had a real moral quandary about whether to put in the piece. But James didn't say it as a homophobic slur. Mm-hmm. He said it as an angry kid in the schoolyard. And, you know, the day they outlaw juvenility, then maybe you can really find this guy. But I don't know. You know, I mean, the guy was regressing. You know, he was behaving like someone a lot younger than he is. But he's mad. And people who are mad say things they don't fully mean or understand in the moment of saying them. So,
well, it's interesting that, yeah, not from a legal perspective, obviously he's entitled to say what he wants. But I wonder, though, with the Steelers, when the lockout does end, you know, and obviously Harrison's not the only troublemaker over the last couple of years with the Steelers. Mm-hmm. The offseason has turned into an awful time to be a Pittsburgh Steeler. They can't seem to stay out of trouble. But, you know, Rashard Mendenhall's comments. Mm-hmm. Now Harrison's, do you suppose that the Steelers might do something with Harrison? Do you anticipate that they'll punish him in some ways? Or, in Pittsburgh, people are talking about that they should just cut bait with him. Do you think that that might happen?
Because James is so easily replaced at right outside linebacker, right? Right, like every team that comes in to Heinz Field isn't game planning for him and him alone on that defense. You know, I mean, here's a guy who never comes off the field, who played the entire season, 2010 season, with two ruptured discs, right? Couldn't push off his right leg, had no strength, very little explosion, had 10 sacks, and finished third in the Defensive Player of the Year voting. You know, as I said, if they want to cut bait with James, there's this portly fellow in New York. What's his name? Oh, yeah, Rex Ryan, who might be able to find a place for him at right outside linebacker. Because, you know, if the Giants had trouble getting the quarterback in the second half of the 2010 season, the Jets were, you know, they were playing in sand when it came to a pass rush. So, you know, James is going to land on his feet. And, you know, the Steelers, for whatever, you know, this ain't the first linebacker to talk like this. I seem to remember Joey Porter, having opinions on a broad range of subjects. I think that this is one of the most cerebral and efficiently run organizations in all of sports. And I think at the end of the day, they'll handle this in-house. They'll squash this beef, and they'll proceed. And if not, like I said, boy, could we use James Harrison here in New York.
Well, I do.
Which was all part of your plan.
Just call me Dr. Evil.
I saw some story come out today where they called you an unabashed fan of Harrison. How do you feel about it? Is that a fair comment?
I tell you what, I did say, I distinctly remember saying that every member of the mainstream media should be out today erecting a statue to James Harrison, because what the hell else did we have to talk about but the dullest lockout in the history of dull lockouts?
Well, the other thing, I appreciate that you could forge some sort of a friendship with this guy. He answered the door nude, right?
He was wearing a towel, barely.
Oh, a towel. I'm sorry. I take that back.
And the scowl that he uses to scare off snakes, bats, vultures, other creatures of the night.
And one last question for you. So he says he wouldn't stop to urinate on an on-fire commissioner. Who do you suppose he would stop to urinate on?
Winnie for Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, somebody asked me today if I could, you know, because I cut so much great stuff out of this story. So much great stuff.
Why? And, where is it? The internet is endless.
500 words, my friend. Yeah, that's like the longest story they've run all year.
Start a blog.
Listen, ranks out. You're in. You're the new co-host of the show if you'll come in here and spill.
Well, anyway, somebody, I think Dan Patrick asked me today to say one thing that Harrison had disclosed that didn't make the story. And I said, well, James absolutely killed me with laughter one day when I asked him what the guys talk about on the sidelines during a game. I mean, don't you wonder that stuff?
Sure, of course.
I can't tell you exactly what he said because it's vile, but it's hilarious, and I can reduce it to two words, prison sex.
Well, excellent. See, it sounds like you really got to the heart of everything with James Harrison. Paul
we
Solitaro.
We solved the problems of the world. Yes, we did.
Excellent, excellent stuff, and thanks for the time, Paul. And I suppose congratulations, because this is seems to be the breakout story of at least the week in the NFL.
Well, it's the slowest week of any sports year I can ever remember.
It really is. This is the worst sports week on the calendar each right. and every year, and you filled it up for us. Yeah. Even though you may have done harm to my beloved Steelers, we appreciate we appreciate the time.
You're very welcome, guys. Take care. Now.
Thanks, Paul.
Bye.
There he goes. I like them, Rank.
One great interview.
How'd I do, guys? So. How'd I do?
Necktie settled down.
All right, go. Don't sprain right. your wrist patting yourself on the back.
I like this Solitaro.
He's
you might
great.
Be out. You might be out, Rank.
Oh, my.
Because I loved his voice. It was a voice of authority. He sounded smart, even, didn't he? He sounded a little like Richard Nixon a little bit.
Absolutely.
I wanted to ask him if he thinks that Harrison, or if he knows if Harrison's going to Ben Roethlisberger's wedding this week.
Oh, you know, there's no way.
Can you imagine logging in?
He should crash it.
I got you this. I got you this.
It's I got a, you it's this a, motorcycle helmet.
What do you think? What do you think his objection would be?
I would go down to the bar from
China.
Georgia
and
buy like a matchbox from the bar Ben got in trouble with. And
I got you this. I got you this toaster oven. That's
a couple of coasters from the place.
That's not funny. That's not something to laugh
too
about.
Too soon.
It would be funny if James Harrison just shows up with a wrap, the thing from the registry. This is. I got you that toaster oven you wanted there.
Well, that's the thing. This has got to be an act, though. I mean, we questioned Paul about that before. This has to be an act.
What do you mean an act?
You said before we even started talking to Paul, these guys are so media savvy. They should know better.
No, I said they should be media savvy. It's stunning that they're not.
You didn't get the impression that this is all...
I think that James Harrison, if you go back and you read that column, he actually has some lucid points about why headshots are more prominent than knee shots because of the short-term injury. You hurt somebody's knee, they're done. You know, they could be on the shelf forever, at least if there's any virtue in the headshots, which I'm not exactly saying there is. But the players themselves, I think, would rather get bonked on the head and deal with what might happen to them 20 or 30 years from now rather than knowing, oh, yeah, now my ACL is ripped and my season and next season and maybe my career are ended. I mean, he
makes points.
Like
yeah,
Paul says, you know, it's not as though he's a completely insane guy. But
that's why I think it's calculated.
Interesting. Yeah, it's interesting. But it is interesting.
He's a guy who, when the WWF shows up in Pittsburgh, he's there in the front row. He's watching CM Punk, who's taking an anti-establishment thing that Stone Cold Steve Austin did back in the past. And he's doing the same thing. He's calling out the boss. He's using language that he knows will get him into the newspapers. This is all calculated. He's working on an image. I mean, he's embraced this kind of heel persona, and now it seems like an act to me.
It's interesting because you watch guys like Ron Artest, and they start, and at some point they buy Dennis Rodman. They buy, and they're in the ballpark of the same guys because these aren't people. Well, Ron Artest has been arrested a couple of times, but I'm not talking about their you know felonious behavior, but it's more that loose cannon kind of thing, and on some level they maybe start to buy into it that's their reputation, but they consistently get into trouble. Milton Bradley's another guy like that, you know. Mm-hmm. They can't seem to inspire. Pac-Man Jones is more a felonious.
Those guys
is a felonious version of that.
They don't make good points, but James Harrison does.
So I think people think Ron Artest makes good points. They do.
Does he make good albums, too?
But in the WWE, you know, the anti-establishment, down with the man, that's it's all scripted, Adam, and Vince McMahon isn't going to fine him for all those comments. It's part of the whole persona of wrestling.
But he realizes that that's something that'll get his name into the newspaper. Like he said, you know, like Paul was saying, there are so many things that James Harrison, you know, he works so hard to get to the position that he's in. He's feeling that he's not being rewarded for this stuff. He's obviously resentful of Roethlisberger when it was his interception in the Super Bowl that helped them beat the Cardinals. So he wants the recognition the way he can do it. He can play the angry guy. He can take the heel. Everybody's talking about him. Men's Journal writes about him.
That's what I agree with you. But there is no merit. There is no benefit personally for James Harrison to use the words that he used. And he's in an interview. He knows what's happening.
They're hot button.
He's, you know, like Paul just said, he's not a completely, you know, out and outer space kind of guy.
Got the real estate thing going on.
Yeah, he's not a complete boob, so he knows what's happening. And to use those words, like I say, there is no gain in that for him. And by the way, having just returned from the banks of the Three Rivers, I know people overreact to these things, and I think 3 months from now things will settle down, especially if football's underway and we're watching the Steelers have a success. The Steel Curtain defense is doing well. I think things will have settled down and largely be forgiven. But people are talking in Pittsburgh about the fact that the Steelers should cut bait with him. I mean, this isn't the first incident. It does bring attention on them, but the psychology of it does become interesting now going into 2011. Goodell will have a decision. Does he fine him? I think you can get away with fining him because he, you know, because of the homophobic slur. I think there's something you can make something out of that legally. Like Paul brings up, he's not currently an NFL employee,
right.
But I think that Goodell can get away with fining him because for that rather than for the personal attack against Goodell. But I wonder, is Harrison, yeah, you might be onto something, Rank. Maybe you and Harrison ain't so foolish after all. Because now I'm thinking about it. There is something to that. Now that you've really, really blown this thing up, Goodell is going to have to think long and hard before he finds Harrison for a late hit or an overly aggressive hit. Because
right.
Now it's proving Harrison's
like,
point.
He's picking on him.
Right. It will be interesting.
The crosshairs are now off of Harrison, and they're now on Goodell.
In a way, but I think that the immediate reaction among Steeler fans is this is just going to make things worse. Now this is going to be even worse for the Steelers team. And a lot of people are calling up, get rid of him, get rid of Hines Ward. And like I say, it's an overreaction. But one thing's for sure, the moral high ground is now gone. We used to be able to sit up on Mount Pius in Pittsburgh fans used to and laugh at the Bengals and the Ravens and the Cowboys. Those days are now long gone, tarnished.
You still can as long as you win.
No, that's not the point at all.
I mean, like, you can. I mean, Joey Porter was doing this stuff, you know. And as long as you're winning, as long as you're productive, hey, you know what? Do what you want. You want to punch some guy in the face at the Palms? Go ahead.
Well,
but the minute that you're not as effective as you once were, see ya. Enjoy Arizona.
Speaking of that, actually brings up an interesting thing that Rank, you and I on NFL.com wrote about for Friday on the .com, the instant debate where all the so-called experts, which somehow you and I are included on. The question is, will anybody take a chance on Terrell Pryor, any NFL team? I laugh at this. Listen, ne'er-do-wells will always find a home somewhere. I like
right.
when Mike Vick, you know, he's getting out of prison. Is anyone? I don't know. You hear a lot of the experts. I don't think anyone will touch him with a 10-foot pole. Teams line up. Plexico Burress.
Yeah.
Plexico Burress is now actually releasing his list of teams he's considering. Man, they're in my top three.
Yeah,
I might go there. Yeah. Teams line up. All that makes a difference is if you can play. People always go and sign T.O. People always do this. Jamarcus Russell is not out of the NFL because mm-hmm. he liked cough syrup. It's because
no.
he stunk. That's the only thing that matters. What do you think about Terrell Pryor? Somebody's going to – I mean, I find it loco yeah. when people – but you
Nobody.
Hear the personnel guys currently saying, I don't think I would take a gamble on him. A gamble? You wouldn't take a third-round pick? You wouldn't burn your third-round pick in
depends,
a supplemental
yeah.
draft to say to take a look
right.
at this guy with those – listen, he's obviously flawed. Forget the off-the-field stuff that he ruined one
that
of the proud organizations.
No,
yeah, programs
no,
in football. Forget about that. Right. His throwing motion is disconcerting.
Right.
Yeah, he doesn't look, it seems like it took him a long time to get up to speed. In college, reading those defenses, he's going to be out of his depth, obviously, for a while in the NFL. But, of course, somebody should take him. I would happily embrace my team bringing him in, like I say, with a third or a fourth round pick, right?
Well, it depends on what the scouts say. I mean, if you get a scout that says,
he's 6'6", he's got wheels, he can throw it. It's not like he's got a spaghetti arm. He just got an awkward throwing motion. Tim Tebow, obviously not comparable with the off-the-field stuff, but Tim Tebow has one of the most Terrell Pryor has a better throwing motion than Tim Tebow.
Tebow is a better college.
The Dolphins last year drafted Pat White in the second round almost solely to be a Wildcat quarterback. You're telling me that Terrell Pryor for a fourth or a fifth round pick couldn't be at minimum a Wildcat quarterback?
It comes down to
what's a fifth round pick worth? You know how many bad quarterbacks are in the league right now? You're telling me that a fifth round pick that has no risk to it might pan out? I think a lot of teams might be looking at him more so than actually.
I can't imagine why you wouldn't stash him, let him play, let him be in your system for a couple of years. And if he doesn't pan out, then goodbye.
He's not starting right away. He'll be behind some guy, second, third string, learning.
The premium placed on this undetermined third or fourth round pick. We can't waste it on Terrell Pryor. Terrell Pryor is obviously as talented as anybody, right?
But it's got to be a team with an established quarterback, right?
I suppose. No, you obviously wouldn't try
like
to. The Vikings would not do well to bring him in and say he's our opening day starter this year.
But if the Patriots used a third round pick on Ryan Mallett, you would say that Mallett and Pryor are on the same level?
That's an interesting comparison.
I think Mallett's way better.
Yeah. So he's fifth round, sixth round. Somebody will take him, and it has nothing. But the bigger point is it has nothing to do with his off-the-field stuff.
Well, but look at it this way. I hear what you're saying about Ryan Mallett, but it's a valid point. But they both have questions about their off-the-field stuff. But let's say that Terrell Pryor, none of this ever came to light. He makes it through next season. He has a fine season, whatever. They go, let's say they win 10 games. He's been the MVP of two bowl games. I think I think he is a better version of Vince Young to me. And Vince Young.
Really?
Wow. Sure. You don't imagine that Terrell Pryor would have done in this coming season what Vince Young. I'm not saying they would have gone undefeated because a lot more goes into it than that. But Terrell
Vince Young
is
the third overall pick when he came out?
Well, that's my point.
Yeah.
Do you imagine that Tim Tebow was a first-round draft pick? You don't think that if Terrell Pryor made it through without injury, they win 10 games again, he runs all over the field, he has some nice moments, he's in the Heisman running, you don't think he would have been a first-round draft pick? Of course he would have been.
I don't know.
I can see the Cowboys
you're loco if you don't. No. That's rewriting history to think that you don't think. This is a great NFL.
It's possible.
It's possible.
It's
what it is. He throws the ball exactly like Vince Young.
Exactly like? No.
Their throwing motions are very similar.
Now, Vince Young throws it like Uncle Rico from that Napoleon Dynamite movie.
You can throw it over that mountain over there.
Yeah.
All right, so listen. We had the big interview, necktie. That was a great work out of you.
Thank you.
We didn't get to.
Was this the highlight of your week? Last couple weeks, I gotta say, over the last couple of weeks, was this the biggest thing that you did?
Well, to see the smile on your face knowing that we got a guest, that was my highlight.
My highlight was frolicking in the sea. I was in Stone Harbor, New Jersey, at the sea in a house, 20 family members, all of us in one stinking house. Can you imagine?
How many did you know?
I mean, how many? Well, I know their I facial recognition
right.
is there for me. I didn't talk to more than like three of them,
But no, to Adam's question, the overseas journey I had, I think, was my highlight of London and Paris. That was my highlight, Adam.
Well,
more so than the guest.
Are you going to stop on Dave's story now to go back to that?
No,
go back to
Dave. It wasn't an Angels All-Star Game story.
Listen, all right, necktie, you wanted to make a big announcement. A drum roll, if you please.
No, it's not. Now you're blowing it out of proportion.
Make your announcement go.
Well, it ties into the Adam's point of spending 4th of July overseas, and am I Canadian? On Canada Day, as a matter of fact, I got engaged in London.
Oh, look
at you.
That
was it.
What's his name?
Steve.
Zing.
You're fine.
Yeah, thanks for building that one up.
Mazel tov to you,
no, thank
necktie.
You.
That's
congratulations.
Great. Roethlisberger this weekend, necktie sometime soon.
And you couldn't do this in America?
No.
Where's the ceremony going to be? Tiananmen Square?
It was to spite Adam. You know, it wasn't that funny when you used it yesterday on me, but...
Hey, answer me this, necktie. Who's the best man, me or Rank?
Henry.
How dare... Well, that makes sense.
Handsome Hank.
He's got to have
Hank,
a foreigner.
Yeah. Well, I understand. Those pictures are going to be on your wall for a lifetime, and Handsome Hank standing next to you.
He's got those eyes.
Well, mazel tov. That's great news. I was at the sea getting bronzy, frolicking in the sea.
You are bronze. I'm not used to this.
Yeah, it's nice, though. I look good with a little color on me. Yes. Now, what's really nice is when the Bronze Age, when I can get into the gymnasium and make with the weights and the muscles and get the Iron Age going. When the Bronze Age and the Iron Age converge, look out, ladies. But what we didn't do, Rank, is we didn't go over the number 10. This is episode number 10.
Did we do it?
We like to talk about what player wore it best in NFL and sports history. I'm going to go, Fran Tarkenton is hard to believe. Doesn't 10 seem like that's a number
there
that
should
more
be a lot of NFL
legends, but no.
Great quarterbacks.
Fran Tarkenton, Eli Manning, Steve Bartkowski.
Yes.
Jim Zorn. Well, Fran Tarkenton is the best of that.
Well, yeah, of course. Jim Zorn.
Apparently on your list, Vince Young should be on that list.
Well.
Why would you say that?
Because
Vince Young is another guy. Oh, no one's going to touch him with a 10-foot.
He was pumping him up a little while ago. I'm just saying.
No. I favorably compared Terrell Pryor to him.
Favorably.
Listen.
What about other sports?
Well, also, let's not. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Santonio Holmes.
Oh, jeez. Mm.
Yeah.
You would be remiss.
The Super Bowl MVP, after all.
Mm-hmm.
Number 10.
How do you feel about that? Because the writers will rubber stamp any Manning in the Super Bowl. You're the MVP no matter what you do. I'm not even going to look at the stats. I'm surprised that Peyton Manning didn't win the MVP even when the Colts lost. How do you feel that Roethlisberger did not get the Super Bowl MVP for orchestrating that drive?
Well, Santonio made a couple of big game-breaking plays. In that final drive, you'll remember that he turned a little in into the play of the drive. You know, and he caught the play, caught the ball when they were – what were they, second and 23, second and 24. He made a big catch that put him into a short yardage situation. So I can sign off on that. I'm fine either way with it, you know. But overall, Phil Rizzuto, that's the greatest number 10 in baseball history? That's hard to believe.
That's weird.
The best of them all, Guy LaFleur, the flower.
Really?
That's it. That's the best number 10
in sports. That's the best number 10?
Sure. Name one better.
Edson Arantes de Nascimento.
I don't know what that even means.
You don't know who that is? No. Am I not saying it right? Edson, what's...
Pele. That's Pele?
Yeah.
Wow.
Adam's worldly.
Pele. Yeah, you're right.
What about Pele?
Pele is better. I don't know anything about the football, but by the way, did you watch any of the girls playing soccer?
Oh, I love it.
There's something. I don't love it, but I'll say this.
You don't? I mean, like.
It's fine. I'll tell you this. I used to always say about women's sports that there's something weird going on there, that the greatest moment in the gender's history on the fields of play was Billie Jean King, the best player by far and away among women, beating a geriatric loudmouth in Bobby Riggs. That's the greatest moment in women's sports history?
Lisa Leslie's dunk?
Well, no, I think it's since been replaced.
Brandi Chastain's goal?
I think car driver. Danica Patrick winning a race. That should have trumped that. But I think this is the biggest moment now in female sports history. And there's something about it. I don't know what it is. There's something about the nature of the sport that if you blurred your eyes, you wouldn't be able to tell if it's men or women. The women can really boot that thing. They can really
they're pretty good.
Hammer it and make it bend and all that jazz. But I don't know what I'm talking about when
I don't. I don't pretend to be an aficionado of the football.
I'll actually watch the final.
But I will watch the World Cup.
I know this much. I am going to watch the final.
Yeah, I might catch the highlights on
SportsCenter. What's wrong with you, Rank?
It's America, Rank. It's America.
You're so apathetic about everything today. These are exciting times.
No, I love it. Hope Solo. What a great name.
Yeah. All right, so what else do we have to cover quickly here? before we wrap things up, necktie, I strongly encourage you to include me in the at least in the wedding party, because I'm no handsome Hank, but I am easy on the eyes, especially.
Okay. I'll bronze up for you,
and right. I'll begin
what
the Iron
think,
Age.
What do you think like a necktie like bachelor party is going to be like?
Wow.
Like, is it going to be, like, is it, I mean, obviously it won't be in America, so it's going to be some foreign port of call.
And did I kick your dog yesterday or something?
No, I'm just saying. You're the one who turned its back on America like Tom Cruise in Born on the 4th of July.
I don't know. Probably some white Zinfandels. And, you know, maybe we'll go see a movie. Get in early, you know, turn in nice and early, you know, kind of thing. Because it will be like, what? We're going home. It's 5 p.m. in the afternoon. Yes, but it's midnight in England, you know. Rank, one thing that we were talking about last week that we brought up, and we encouraged you to send in your thoughts on this, you know, the people who are kind enough to check out my work over the years are known as the Czech Republic, you know. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you can follow me at Twitter, at Damashek, and you can follow Rank at Adam Rank. And I asked for people to send in their ideas. We need to come up with Rank's, you know, minuscule fan base. We need to figure out what those people should call. And our pal Mike Dell from LCSHockey.com suggested Rank and File, which
actually,
is
pretty
strong.
Actually, that was Mick Rodden.
Oh, Mick Rodden.
He came up with it. Dell brought it to my attention.
I see.
So Mick deserves.
All right. So what else did people send in here?
We got some. Our friend Handsome Hank said a bunch of rankers, which I think is good for our UK fan base, which Milner is a part of.
I was trying to spread the word overseas.
Thank you. No. I appreciate it.
Get that UK and Paris.
Joel Mueller. I'm sorry if I'm saying that wrong, Joel. But he came up with Rankenstein's Monsters.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Cute.
Martin. Jeez, these last
two clunky. We can't do that.
The Rank Outsiders.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, that's not bad.
What about Rank's Amateurs? I've heard that
Ranks
one. Rank Amateurs.
You know, our friend,
I saw that one on the Twitter. A couple of people sent that one over. Rank Amateurs. I like that.
Dan of Thunder, our friend in Thunder Lips, came up with Ranko's Italian Army.
Wow, nice. That's a regional reference. You know that?
That's good. I'm not taking it.
Franco's Italian Army.
I'm surprised we haven't gotten something associated with Dieter Brock.
Oh, very good. Well, now at least this podcast includes a reference to Dieter Brock.
There it is.
I think we've gone only two episodes without some mention.
One.
It's only one.
Well, the top 100 ones didn't count.
No, yeah. So
those don't count.
All right, well, listen, that's a nice list that we have to work on. Is there one?
R&B for Rankin Brock. R&B.
R&B. Maybe. It's got to be
I'm working on the fan base. I'm working on it.
Go back to
Matty Swagger had Rank Troopers.
Rank Troopers?
He's kind of playing off the Star Wars theme, the Rank L Alliance he sent back to.
All right.
I like it. I like that he's trying.
Here's what we'll do. Necktie. Wait, be a deer.
Yes.
Oh, we have more? We have
Rankophones.
More. Rankophones. Yeah,
that
I like that.
Garrett Colton.
That's very good. All right, listen. Here's what we'll do. And I suggested, I said last week, I'll say again, if we're being literal, it should be some guy in Cleveland with bad taste.
You'll put that up as a poll for us.
We'll figure those out when you look up when you go to NFL.com. Yes.
Yep.
What should Rank's?
So we've got the final candidates. You feel comfortable with the final candidates?
Yeah. Do you have one that you like? Because really, Rank, you have to own it. So if there's one you want to lead the audience into,
right?
Rank and File.
Rank and File, I think, is the leader in the clubhouse right now.
Rank Amateurs?
Rank Amateurs.
We'll put it through the poll.
Okay, I don't want to push you. I don't want to steer you in any direction.
Sure.
Man, we didn't even get to talk about Roger Clemens. Let me just say this very quickly, and then we'll wrap up. Necktie. I just want to say about, because, you know, Clemens now, mistrial, all this sort of thing. And I listen.
What does that even mean?
The judicial system needs a victory right now with the latest ridiculous.
They beat Barry Bonds.
I think our judicial system now, people have questions about it with yet another crazy ruling by another jury with Casey Anthony last week and everything. I think they'd like a nice victory here. And when a prominent guy like Roger Clemens perjures himself, or what they think, if they believe he perjured himself, then they have to go for the victory. So this moral thing about, like, they have better things to worry about than taking down this ball player, I think they have to do that. But keep in mind, when people say they need the asterisk, the other issue is this asterisking steroid guys from baseball. You know, all that. Listen, they're already tarnished. That's it. They're ruined now.
Yeah.
Barry Bonds, 100 years from now, forget about Nick, 100 years from now, when you mention him, just like when you talk about the Black Sox, you don't talk about how great Shoeless Joe is. You always bring up the 1919 World Series. Same thing. There's a thing about, like, the Hall of Fame and all those guys can't go in. Put them in. There's no way. They're inextricably linked now. Roger Clemens forever is going to have the stink of steroids on him.
David Ortiz.
If that makes you feel happy, if you're up on Mount Pius and you want to condemn these guys for juicing during their career and for the records they broke, then rest easy with that thought, that these guys are already doomed. The A-Rod and everyone else, they all have the stink on them. And the other thing is for the kids out there, remember what Jason Giambi did. As soon as Giambi got busted, he held a press conference and said, I'm sorry for what I did. That was a mistake. You never hear about Giambi again. You try to lie about it and further your lies, you get in more trouble. Let the kids be aware out there.
What a great lesson.
It is.
Steroids,
it is nice.
Admit it, and then
I wasn't saying
bring in all that money. That's a great idea.
That wasn't exactly.
But here's what we do with Clemens. We get a room at the Palace Station in Las Vegas. We tell him we have some of his memorabilia. Yes. Give him a handgun.
Oh.
Let him go.
It's funny you bring him up, because I was thinking about when we were just talking about Pryor. I was thinking, when people go like, who would ever sign him? Who would ever sign Mike Vick? Who would ever sign Plaxico Burress? If O.J. were a free man and could run like he did when he was 24.
If he would have done
line
that,
up out
Bills
the
would
door
sign
again.
Him again. Bills would sign him back.
If he would have done what he did after the 2003 yard season, it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah,
he would have probation.
Yeah,
they would have signed. Oh, he got off anyways.
I don't know. Him. I don't know if the Bills are going to bring him back. Then they bring him back like by October. Like, well, he did go for 178 today against
against
the Jets defense. All right, that's all right. Yeah, good for you, OJ. How you spend your off season is your business. All right. Well, listen, Mazel Tov again to Necktie Milner. And also to rank. Listen, coming in the top three in the hot dog eating contest is nothing to be ashamed of. You'll
good
get
feet.
Him next year.
Thank
good
you.
Feet.
Go get that guy. And all right, we'll be back for more Hooey and Applesauce. We've got to start doing two podcasts now that the Hall of Fame, now that the top 100 stuff. Let's work.
We'll talk to 280 about it.
Okay, 280 West out in New York. We'll get the clearance for that. All right, more. Hopefully by the next time we speak, we'll be talking about real football, because it's almost done. Let's hope it happens. One way or the other, we'll be back for more Hooey and Applesauce next time. Don't forget to vote in the poll. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.